Good morning, everyone. My wife, my daughter, and my granddaughters are having an absolutely wonderful feast. We've met a lot of people. We've renewed a lot of old friends, and we've met some new ones. We wish we could just have a great relationship with everyone. Of course, when you're dealing with 1,000 people, that's not possible, but there still is time to meet a few more. So if you see me, walk up to me, I won't turn my back to you. It's a privilege to speak in the first message of a separate holy day, the eighth day. I'm humbled to be able to give this message, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity. Also like to say a welcome to all those who are on the webcast. In 1977, the U.S. military ended the mandatory draft that had been in effect since 1940. At this point, they said, well, let's try a voluntary military service. Let's see how many people will just join up. Now, the war in Vietnam had just ended 2 years earlier. And in 1979, they weren't really comfortable with the response that they were getting from this voluntary enlistment. So they said, we need some advertising, we need a slogan, we need something to be a catch so that they can say, okay, I want to join up, I want to be a part of this. So they created this recruiting slogan, which a lot of us may remember. It lasted 25 years, it was extremely successful. It says, be all that you can be. Join the Army and be all that you can be. And as I said, it started in 1979, but it got off to a relatively slow start. They didn't get a lot of people responding the way they wanted to in the beginning. Why? Well, one reason was that this was only 4 years after the end of the conflict in Vietnam. And they were looking for evidence as to, is this really going to be all that you can be, joining the Army? And they looked back and they said, the evidence doesn't support this. And one bit of evidence I'd like to talk about is written on a black marble stone on the Mall in Washington, D.C. That stone contains the names of 58,220 young people, and I say young people, and you'll see what I mean in a minute, that lost their lives in that conflict. Of that 58,220, 25,000 of them were under the age of 20. 25,000 under the age of 20. You know, Mr. Martin said in the Bible study, he just mentioned it, and I think it was mentioned yesterday, we send our young men to war. We send them out to die. That's who we send. And that's why we have so many young people on this wall. The youngest was under 17. The average age was just under 24 years. The average age of all those 58,220. And I'd like to quickly mention that that's not all, because there were some where the families just said, we don't want their names on that wall. When you visit that wall, you see people going to the wall, finding the names of their families and friends, touching the wall, tracing their fingers over those names. Some are very sad. Some are very disappointed. Some are very frustrated. Some have determined, I'm not going to give my sons to the military, because this proves that they're not going to be able to be all that they can be. Mothers saw the names of sons. Brothers saw the names of brothers. In that conflict on the wall, there are brothers and sisters, fathers and sons. I picked this example because it's personal to me. There are classmates, family, all on that wall. So when you look at this wall, when you look at this evidence, does this really support that if you join the army, you can be all that you can be? You know, we've had several quotes from some great thinkers by the sermon makers. I have a quote from a great thinker, a great writer, one Clint Eastwood, the one of, "Go ahead, punk, make my day." But in the movie Unforgiven, there's a young man who wants to kill someone, his first kill, and he's anxious to do it. But he says, when you kill a man, you take away everything that he ever was and everything that he ever will be. Well, brethren, today we're observing a day, we heard in the opening prayer, that debunks this statement and that debunks the idea that all those 58,220 have already been all that they can be. This day proclaims, in fact, that they, along with the 80 to 100 billion who ever lived, are going to be given the opportunity to be much, much more. I want you to turn in with me to John 5, the fifth chapter of John. I'm going to read verses 28 and 29. Christ says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all, not just certain ones, but all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." And he says, "Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation," or the resurrection of judgment. So if you read this on the surface of it, it says, well, he's going to raise them up, and those that did live pretty good lives, you know, they're going to be justified. They're going to get a reward. And those that were evil, he's going to rise up to say, finally slam down on them and say, okay, you get yours. But that's not what it's really saying. And we get a little more clarification if we go to Revelations, the book of Revelations. And we'll start reading in Revelation 20. We're going to start reading in verse 12 and 13. And verse 12 says, "I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life." Now we understand that the books were open are the books of the Bible. These are the books that tells the way of life of God and Jesus Christ. This is the way man should be living. We also believe that there's going to be a space of time that they will have the opportunity to have their names written in the book of life. It says, "And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the book." So they were judged by how they responded to those things written in the book, how they turned their life around, how they repented as we repent. It says, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one." So now we have standing a great multitude of people, including the 58,220. They're trying to figure out what happened. What happened? I was standing there, and this bouncing Betty came up, and it shot out shrapnel, and I felt it hit me. but I'm still alive. I'm alive again. There was this explosion, there was this rocket. It blew everything up, but here I am, still alive again. I don't understand. The books were then opened to them, and they were shown you weren't living a life that really could help you to make you be all you can be. There is a better way. There is a better life. They were judged by how they live. But our God is full of mercy. We've heard so much of that. He's full of mercy. His plan is to give them, those that have never heard of him or those who have never fully understood him, his plan is to give them an opportunity to learn. So we talked about evidence. We talked about this group of men looking at the evidence of the Vietnam War and determining whether they're going to be all that they can be by joining the Army. Well, now let's take a look at what I call God's recruiting slogan. He says, follow me. Live this life. Live this way. And you can truly be all that you can be. And again, they may say, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Well, you look back at what we have just pictured. They may look around and say, where are the hospitals? Where are the armies? I want to join. Where are the armies? There are no armies. There are no hospitals. Where are the police? Why is everybody at peace? Where are the poor? Where are the homeless? Where are those people sleeping on the streets? They're not there. They're not there. Why is the guy plowing a few feet behind the guy who's reaping? Why is there so much plenty? I don't really understand. And then we will be there to teach them and say, this is why. This is the way of life. This is what's written in the books. This is the way that God, when he created us, intended us to live. This is the way he intended us to live. God's not going to force them, just like he doesn't force us. But they are going to have the opportunity to be all that they can be. Now, we know that some, and we feel, and the Bible supports this, it's going to be a very small minority to say, I don't want a part of this. I'm too confused. Whatever. The way I was living seems like it was better. But the vast majority are going to look at the evidence. They're going to look at this call. They're going to look at this recruiting slogan. They're going to look at what is possible for them. And they may say, well, who are these teachers? Who are these rulers? And they will be told, these are the sons of God. And guess what? This is what you can be. This is all you can be. Brother, as long as we're in the flesh, whether we be homeless, whether we be Jeff Bezos with his $150 billion, whether we be a king, whether we be a servant, we in the flesh can never be all that we can be. But this day represents a chance, an opportunity to become spirit beings for all those who have never known, never understood. And when they except when they join up, when they say, count me in. Brethren, finally, finally, they will be all that they can be.